Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent.
Welcome to the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman. Tagway along for the ride. Zoom and pod. Jeff is on the DL today. He is out sick. And we are sponsored by the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network's FanDuel. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Okay, Bob, I was texting with you last night, and I am an unfair fan. I get it. I'm not going to apologize, but I watched the first half of that Celtics game last night. And oh, my God. It drove me crazy. But the Celtics, I'm going to focus on the positive in the win over the Sixers. Yeah. Without the three-point shot, they took care of business. That's a victory.
No, that's important. That's one of the things. It's one of our mutual checkpoints we want to see. If we think about the future and the games that you know we're looking forward to in the spring, you want to know that they can do that. And they did it against a weakened opponent who was missing its significant deterrent in the middle. And you took advantage of that, with an exemplary 2-point shooting and stuff in the paint that a huge advantage in the paint. Yeah, it's good. All right. So, yeah, I'm looking right. That's what I take away from that one. I worry as soon as I wasn't looking forward to the game in terms of how well they were going to play because Embiid is out and they showed us an attitude problem against the Lakers. And I didn't think it was going to be a great game and it wasn't, but they got the job done. That's all we can say.
Well, yeah. And it seems that they're adjusting, they're learning to adjust because as you talked about it, you know, Nick Nurse was like throwing the kitchen sink at him. You know, when you were listening to the game, you know, it was, he goes, I can't remember. I think Grant Hill said he's got five guards out there. You know, I mean, so you know, these guys aren't. There's a learning curve for the Celtics with that.
Well, it's, you know, speaking of which, Grant Hill and announcing, we have a funny thing going on at here in our home in that we are getting on TNT. We're getting Spanish announcer.
Really?
Yes, and so I watched the game without any informative commentary last night. So I don't know. And that's not the first time that's happened. And we've had a problem in the past with Nesson and during baseball season with Spanish. So I don't know what that's all about, but that's neither here nor there in terms of what we're talking about, which is the
right.
Boston Celtics. It was a night, you know, it was a day at the office. It was a night
that's
at the
exactly
office.
Exactly what it was.
It was a night at the office for this team. You know, and their inexorable march to 60 wins, and that's what it was. But we are looking for things. I'm still looking for Tillman. I want to see Tillman, how and if he will fit into the big picture. That's one thing I'm keeping.
Well,
an eye on.
But before we leave that Celtic game, I do want to point out, you know, 34 free throws. So when you go to the basket,
well, of course,
you go to the foul line.
Yeah, no, that was very good.
That's like, I'm focused. That's to me, because I really, Bob, I worry about them choking. And I say the word choking because these guys could win it all in a series where the three goes dry and they're not able to convert.
Oh,
and I love seeing this. I mean, you know, they're going to the basket, they're getting fouled, they're going to the line. Phenomenal.
All right, against a team that was short.
And not only but short. I mean, training wheels.
Yeah, so, you know, we need to see that. We'll wait till we get one of those games where the threes aren't falling against a team that has some inside deterrent, and we'll see how they play.
Okay. Moving on from the Celts, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 12-3. Strauss had that 59-foot game winner. I did not have Cleveland on my radar at the beginning of the season.
No, but I had a conversation in the last couple of weeks with Mr. Hubie Brown, and he was touting Cleveland to me and as a team that could be, you know, the ultimate threat in the East to the Celtics. And if I'm not mistaken, he certainly was touting them. Maybe I put words in his mouth with that second statement. But anyway, yeah, they got a wonderful backcourt, and they've got under the radar good big men in Mobley and Allen, and they've got I got a guy that can hit from 59 feet too. So
right.
So we knew about Strauss from his Miami days. Don't worry, we got a load of Strauss, so we know what he's capable of in Boston. And yeah, they're good. And clearly J.B. Bickerstaff is a good coach. And once again, I was very fond of his father, Bernie.
Right.
And knew him way back. But no, good. And this is good. And Cleveland deserves it good, you know, because of the romantic fan relationship with LeBron and having them and not having them and having them and not having them. And, you know, they deserve something good. But yes, they're a threat. I mean, they're going to be nobody. As I love to say, nobody's going to go into the playoffs and say, "Oh, goody, we're playing the Cavaliers." Oh no, you're going to be ready. Get ready for fasten your seatbelt when you play the Cavaliers.
Do you think they're as? Would you put them on the threat level of Philly with a healthy center?
If they keep you, I don't see why not.
I agree. That's my point.
I don't think this is a gimmicky or freaky surge. I think this is who they are right now. And you know they're gaining a unit confidence with this naturally.
Right.
And so absolutely, I think that they've entered into if we want, you know, however you slot Philly, you know, after Milwaukee and you know, and we know they're having their own issues, and you know, no, they're serious. You take them, I'm taking them seriously. I am.
Yeah, that's why, because Milwaukee's wonky. They've changed coaches. They've had chemistry issues. They're that team that has all the talent, but do they have the right chemistry? And if they don't win the title, they will take a lot of heat, as they should. Because, you know, they have two potential, well, in my opinion, two Hall of Fame players on their roster. So, you know, you put Cleveland into the mix, and, you know, Cleveland, I don't know how it pans out, but Cleveland can take out Philly in a series. And if things aren't going right with Milwaukee, who knows? So I just think it changes the dynamic a little bit. It's too bad the Knicks are hurt, because I thought that could round out a top five.
As we're speaking of Cleveland, I'm reminded of a singular incident that I saw back in 1976 when I covered the series that the Cavaliers played against the Bullets. Gen Z people, Washington Wizards were once known as the Washington
right.
Bullets. Okay, now, and after they won the seventh game on a game-winning basket by Dick Snyder, you're able to mount the backboard, the superstructure, and they tore the basket down a la a football goalpost. Never seen that before or since. That was a great crowd. I used to say in those days, that was as loud as continually loud a crowd noise as I ever remember in the NBA of the 20th century. It was really something, but I just hadn't thought about the basket being torn down in a long time until we started talking about the Cavaliers again. That was all in the old Richfield Coliseum. And
let me see if I have it right. It's Jim Jones, Nate Thurman.
Absolutely. Campy Russell.
Campy Russell. I can't
Dick Snyder. I'm forgetting somebody good. Bingo Sully. Bobby Bingo Smith was Bobby, an early star in that team.
I can't remember who the coach was.
It was some guy named Fitch.
Bill Fitch! My God, how could I forget that? That's right,
Bill Fitch. It was Bill Fitch. And that's who we played in, you know, for the Eastern Conference Finals was the Cavaliers. And it was a tough six games. And,
Well, I can't now. I should have known that. I mean, by the way, while we're on the topic of tearing down the backboard, what's your feeling on storming the court? Because that's been a big controversy here with Kentucky and a player.
Oh, of course it is. It's the number one topic now in college, and in fact, in college basketball right now is the court storming. I keep saying, well, how do you prevent it without massive security? Now, I mean, I don't know what kind of warning, what kind of PA warning would get the attention of people to thwart them, to get them not to, to do it. I don't know, but it's something has to be done. Absolutely intolerable what happened in the other night in Winston-Salem, and so I know it's topic A in college sports. It's interesting that the ACC, unlike other conferences, had no policy whatsoever. Other conferences have got fining teams. For example, the SEC, LSU just got $100,000 fine, as far as I know. But something's got to be done. It's bad, and it's terrible.
What's unfortunate is at one point in time, as we know, it was about championships, you know, or it was the playoffs, or it was a unique game. It was, you know, the odds were pretty even for these two teams. It wasn't that big of an upset, right? It wasn't a championship, like, you know, Game 7. You win at the Garden, or Game 6, you know, the Gar-Heard game or whatever, you know, people storm the floor. But now they're doing it for anything.
Dwight Clay hits a jump shot for Notre Dame to end UCLA's 88-game streak. Yeah, maybe you come on the floor.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're saying. And I agree. And it's just, I mean, Duke isn't even Duke this year. I mean, they're not a vintage Duke team at all. You know, and it's a big deal, you know. They're a second.
Kentucky? I mean, thank you.
They're a top 20 team. Yeah. That's all they are.
Right.
And nothing special. I mean, is Wake Forest that victory starved? It was bad. But I don't have an answer. And I don't.
I mean, you're right, because I love to tell the story when the Red Sox won the World Series in St. Louis, and I know you were there when in 04. You know, the security people said there's going to be a 10-minute cool down and then you can come on the field for the media. Well, yeah, that wasn't happening. We were all on the media immediately. We were on the floor on the field immediately talking to players. You would literally have to have 100 members surrounding the court.
Yeah, armed.
That's the only way to do it, because now the problem is, see, kids are getting attention. They want the attention. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It's become about them.
Oh, it's a TikTok generation.
Yeah, it's the streaking, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's that, but you know, meanwhile, those 100 people had better be armed. This is what.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, yeah. This is terrible, because now we're talking. We're entering into hooligan talk. We're entering into premiership talk. Right? We're entering into Celtics versus Rangers, when I have to separate the fans. You talk. You know, we're this is ridiculous that we even have to have this discussion, but unfortunately, we do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that.
Safety of the players. That's too bad. Get your buckets with your first bet at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams. Quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston and shoot your shot. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Massachusetts 21 plus and present in MA. Hope is here. First online real money line wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800 327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. I'm looking at the Western Conference standings right now. And, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
As we speak, as we're recording this, folks, we're still looking at the Timberwolves, who are not going away. Then OKC, then the Nuggets, then the Clippers with 37 wins, then the Suns, then Bob's Kings, then Dallas, who's been playing very well at 33-24, and then the old men, the Lakers and the Golden State, 9-10 with the play-in game. What have you made? I mean, it's obviously great for basketball. What do you make of it?
Seems to always this team and that team surfaces for a discussion. The team that I have in my mind right now that, oh boy, maybe they are going to be a problem in the end, and that's Phoenix. They got the big three, and Grayson Allen is having quietly, he's a good year. Now we all think ill of him, and you'll never forgive him for what he did in college. Never, because he's never sought any forgiveness of any way that right. I know. But he can play. He can shoot, and he can play. And they're playing better. And if they're healthy. They're not deep, we know that, but they could cause some problems. I'll ask you, Judith, yes or no, should we even bother to discuss Golden State? Yes or no?
I say no.
Okay. Yeah, I keep leaning no, and yet Klay Thompson is slowly, he's been coming off the bench and making scoring some points lately, but. And Kuminga is growing into something, I don't want to bury him, but I don't think anybody's going to say goody goody. We're playing the Warriors.
Well, no, I mean, of course, a lot not. Of teams. But I mean, let's face it, Bob. They're not deep. When I look at all these teams now ahead of Golden State, I mean, the problem with the Lakers and Golden State, they don't have any depth.
No,
but. All these other teams have depth to me from what I see.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of intriguing stuff. I always had my eye last year on Sacramento, and Dallas is coming up on the rail now when we're not looking. And, of course, we know Doncic is ridiculously good. And Irving had a quiet 30 last night.
Yeah, I mean, if he's engaged, it changes the game.
He's been doing that. They of course, they got, schnookered by the 59-foot shot, there's a lot of it's going to be crazy just to get in first of that. The play-in, it would be massive, and just to get into the play-in, and then who's going to? It's a dart just toward up at the dartboard. Who's going to be the Western Conference? Who's going to emerge and out of the West?
I don't know. Maybe there isn't an obvious question. This is actually a tough question. There isn't an obvious answer. Now that I'm thinking about the answer to my own question is, who's the worst team for the Celtics to play in the finals out of this group?
Well, I have to think about that one.
I think
Denver.
Denver, but then the Clippers. That's what my initial reaction is. Denver. Then I go, oh my God, the Clippers are.
The Clippers. Yeah. You got to respect the Clippers, and it's been true for about 2 months. But once Harden got settled in, and once he figured them out, and they figured him out, and they got now we got something to talk about with them. And but Denver, fear I. I want to go so far as to say fear the most,
it's understandable. They've been there,
I think they'll approach it. They have the chip on the shoulder complex because they don't think they're being respected at quote the 21st century word respected as the current champion. The people are just forgetting who the champion is in their mind. So they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder. There's no question.
Well, I mean, SGA is getting all the, and he's awesome.
Oh,
he's entertaining. There's a flamboyancy about him. Where Denver is Denver. There's nothing fancy. So they can use, I mean, I'm teaching some courses. Yep. SGA is the man. The kids love him.
Well, I think if there was a fan plebiscite for the MVP, he'd win.
Oh, he would win.
He'd win. He'd win. And he's got to get serious consideration, I think, in the midst of the obvious big guys. So, absolutely. No, I'm intrigued by them. And of course, Holmgren, is proving his worth nightly. And once we've stated previously, I'm happy for the franchise. Those people have supported that team very well from day one. Not that they should have that team, because they were the beneficiaries of the second biggest screw job in the history of the league.
Right.
Buffalo being the first that they should still have a team, but Seattle got screwed but nobody can say Oklahoma City hasn't done right by the franchise.
Well, if I look at it from the Celtics perspective, the Celtics to me have been there. So I like their advantage over Minnesota. I think Oklahoma City would give them a series, but again, the veteran presence. Denver's a problem. The Clippers are a problem. And if somehow, some way, the Suns are healthy and Durant gets into the finals, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know Kevin Durant. I don't know him. Like, I don't really, I know he took some heat from moving teams, but I love him as a player, and I don't want him to go out. I want him to go out on a high note. I mean, he's older. No. I want Kevin Durant to have a great playoff.
No,
I don't want it to be against the Celtics, but I want him to have a great playoff. Yeah.
No, he's to me, as a player, impossible to dislike, because he blends with anybody. He's got such a versatile game, and you don't have any trouble playing with him at all, and he doesn't have any trouble playing with any kind of team. He's got extraordinary skills at seven, whether he's 6'11" or seven, whatever the hell.
Whatever.
No, he's a terrific player, he deserves to be appreciated.
I think if he had stayed at Golden State, you'd be talking dynasty, but that's whatever. He wanted to make the move, and when we talk top five now, he's fallen out of that discussion, and I would like to see him get back. I'm not talking top five of all time. I'm talking like top five.
Yeah. Currently. Well,
I would like to see him, because the thing with Durant and a lot of these guys are 6'11", 7 feet, whatever. Now everybody's shooting threes, it's positionless basketball. Kevin Durant was a player that when I would watch Bob, I didn't realize he was 7 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because he moves so well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very good point. No, he floats around the court and beautifully and
handles.
And handles. Oh, no, the whole package. And he's not the passer, as the LeBron is or anything like that, but he will pass, he can pass, and he can play, and he can make. Evaluated him way back, coming out of Texas, I said he's a cross between McAdoo and Iceman.
Yeah.
and he had all the varying shot release points that Iceman had, and he right. had McAdoo's accuracy and more range. McAdoo, now today McAdoo would have expanded his range. They all would have, but right. But that's what I thought of, and I'm still going to stick with that.
That's a great analysis, Bob, because now that you mention it, he reminds me of he's a 7 foot Iceman. He's a 7 foot Iceman. It's too bad people don't. I mean, that's when I fell in love with the NBA, to go old bastard on a minute. I fell in love with the NBA when Bob McAdoo was with the Braves, and Iceman was with the Spurs. And I just wish people could appreciate what they did. Those guys were, they could play. They can absolutely play. So I'm glad you brought them up.
Look, when you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. Right for the role. Not just anybody. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's important. You want to have quality candidates to interview. And with LinkedIn Jobs, it makes it so easy to find them. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion That's with a B, a billion professionals, which make it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals that you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all of that while making the process easy and intuitive. Hiring is easy when you have so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats. I mean, you have a lot of jobs to do, right? While you're growing. And you might not have the time or the resources to sit there and do the hiring. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They've even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process quicker, easier, less of a hassle. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. That's linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bob, I have an issue now. I think it's time for the coaches to get rid of the sweats. All right. I was watching this last night.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm watching, you know, Joe has got like the sweats on, and I know that these aren't like the sweats I go buy at Target. You know, I know they're from Nike or whatever, and if I bought them, they'd probably cost me $500 online. And they fit well in the coach. When I see Nick Nurse in a sweat, I mean, I swear to God, I just saw him like dying on the treadmill at Longfellow Sports Club, you know, over here in Wayland. I'm like, what's that? I want the suits. I want a Chuck Daly. It's COVID's over, man. Bring back the suits.
I agree. I think it would be a nice idea. I don't like this cash look. I'm thinking about the old days. I'm thinking, of course, Chuck. Got to tell you this story.
Sure. People.
So when the Pistons played in the Silver Dome, they had a special promotion night, and they wanted to attract a huge crowd with a promotion, and they had like, they're going to have 60,000. Okay. So Chuck habitually, what he had was, he had a pregame outfit and a game outfit. He would change his clothes into his game suit. He forgot his game suit. And guess what night he forgot? The night of the big crowd. He sends Dick Versace, his assistant, home to pick up his game suit. And now Versace is trying to come back to the dome in the midst of this massive crowd.
Oh, and that's a nightmare. That
so, place. So he's pulling a French Connection, for those of you who know what I mean here, you know,
Popeye.
And he finally gets there. Now, the entrance to the dome that we would come in, you entered that, there was a hill, and you went down to a recession, and Versace slides down the hill to get around the crowd, holding up the suit so he doesn't get his suit, and delivers the suit to Chuck for his gamer. Now, only Chuck, that was so classically Chuck. But I remember back in the ABA days, it's funny, you always wonder what Larry Brown was going to wear, or what Doug Moe, overalls. He'd wear overalls at times. And
But at least it was a statement. Like Moe was.
Oh, yeah.
Like I remember Moe coaching the Nuggets we've talked about it, before he went to Philly and got the hair done and got the suit and all that stuff. But I remember when the Nuggets, it looked like he was going to singles night, you know, at the disco after. You know, he had the chain and the shirt and the unbuttoned down here. But he had a thing, you know, he had a style about him, you know. And I just look at the sweatsuits now and I'm like, bring back the suits.
Yeah, I mean, there ought to be a little more dignity to it.
I don't know. I don't.
It's my big thing with coaches. I said 40 years ago when it was, and they should be made to sit down. Coaches should not be roaming. They should not, in this college, every level. Coaches should plant their butts on the bench, get up to call timeout. That's it. And, well, again, you know, that's never going to happen. No, this is this is just total utter fantasy. That, but that's my fantasy. Coaches are made to sit down and for a variety of reasons. But you know, one of them was they don't beat referees. But anyway, that's not going to happen. But in my world, I'm commissioner of sports. Coaches or basketball coaches will sit. It can only rise to call timeout.
Bob, I don't think it helps when they stand up. It doesn't have what do they do? What, I mean, they don't. It doesn't matter. Well, I agree with you, but like what?
Well, some of them.
What does it do?
Particularly in college, some of them they roam and they're calling out plays and they're trying to orchestrate every possession. Oh, you know, guys are switch. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, like as somebody who played for a yeller. I played for a yeller, and it's like background music. You know, right. my mother would say, "Oh, he yells," and I'd say, "I said, Ma, I didn't even hear. I didn't pay attention to him. It's background music." You know,
I mean, 90% of the guys don't run the play; they call in the huddle. So, you know, I mean, like so.
But
it's nervous energy. Like Nurse is the worst because I can't. I was down at the game and I was like, I said, Nurse doesn't shut up. I go, if I'm a fan, I don't want to sit there. And there's no way. Look, I can't argue the guy's success, but there's no way the players hear it. There's no way.
But it's just, yeah, I know. It's a reflex. It's something they do. But absolutely, I can tell you, you when you play, you don't listen. You just play. Anyway.
Oh, well, Bob. All right, dude. Thank you very much. Bring back the suits.
All right.
Bob Ryan, Jeff Ryan, Gary Tangway, along for the ride. Did I say Jeff Ryan? Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman. Jeff is out sick today. We have been brought to you by the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if you win. Bob, see you next time.
Okay, very good.